Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is my first show of the new year. This is Kay. Hope everyone is doing well. We're just going to be on for an hour today. And we're going to talk about, I guess different things in the community. You know, I'm here to educate the best I can. The topic for today is post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to be speaking a little bit about that, doing research and stuff that I did find out, you know, there's a lot of things. You know, when you hear it, you automatically think about people that's been in the military or what have you, but that's not always so. And also on with the anxieties and the disorders that a lot of them have, whether you're in the military or not, if you have these syndromes, the disorder, I'm going to teach you how the essential oils can help you, you know, to maintain or to put everything in perspective, to help you with your night terrors, you know, your disorders or whatever you're going through, anxiety, with the post-traumatic stress disorder. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and, well, a whole lot, you know, because what I'm going to do is, first of all, who this is calling me, I'm sorry. Golly. I'm so sorry. Somebody called in and knocked me out the system. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get it together here. All right. I'm back. I'm sorry about that. That's why I tell people if they're going to call, I'm calling during my showtime. But anyway, I'm back and hope everyone is doing fine. And I'm going to play a little music. We'll just do some commercials and then I get to the music.
This is your girl, Kay. Listen to my show, The Answer Is You, every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on the Bomb Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com.
All right.
It's your man, Mr. B, host of the ITAB show, I Trust and Believe. You're listening to the sounds, the woman of the hour, Miss KKK of the Answer Is You show. She'll make you do what it do.
Yeah, those are my partners in crime, as I say. They always have my back, and I'm just glad to be on here. I've been under the weather all through the holidays, but you know how it is. I'm a fighter, and my voice is getting better. My throat is. I'm going to play a little music here and try to get everything in order so we can go ahead and talk about the topic for today. And here we go.
Let's have some fun.
Love it, man.
Life to Christ, and he gave me a new name. DMV, I'm back with
25 foes. Waited upon the Lord to open 25 doors. 25 ways to praise him, choose one. He came about the grave to save and lose none. He gave me my life back and my wife back. Two kids, two cars, a crib. 30 is to 20, like 40 to 25. I'ma point you to the word, cause the word's alive. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Got to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Got to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Got to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Got to get saved.
316, about 25 Bibles. It get us like a Billy Gun. 25 Bibles. Mad cause we just smashed 25 Bibles and baptized the classic 25 lighters. Yeah. Young swine saved with a passion for Christ. Mashing and not flashing the fashion and ice. If you bring cash in, it can add to my life. But just know that my soul's not attached to a price. Caught by the Son of Man on the cross where they hung him lost running. But he still offered his loving hand. And I ain't trying to toss nothing underhand. But let's stop talking and walk like we understand. Go hard with the sin. Why not go hard for your God to repent? I put on and I don't care who the gospel offends. I am with the Lord, so I'm going all the way in.
I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Just to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Just to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Just to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. To the good book, trying to tell the hoods in the hood it's a good look. Let the word guide me, gave me my swagger. Used to use it like a sword, now it's more like a dagger. Jesus said, try me, don't you deny me. Get the word inside me, use it like an ivy. Just like my bishop, man, gave me a vision, man. Took me from a fool to a sold out bishop, man. Made me a soldier, fight for Jehovah. No, this ain't Picker JC, thought I told you. He's my provider, let the word shield me. Protects me from hating words sent to kill me. But they won't stop me, cause the Lord got me. Tell me that I can't tell a hater back, watch me. Watch me turn heads, cause the word got me shining. Matthew 25, 25 got me grinding. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir. Just to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir. To get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Just to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser. Yes, sir. Just to get saved.
Love it, man.
That's how we do it. DMB, Young Bizzle, King Jesus.
All right, so we're talking about the 25 Bibles on the dresser. Yes, sir. I also would like to remind you all that we're going to have Mr. Isaiah McCormick. He's going to come on. He's speaking about life insurance policies, and we need to make sure that it's the right one for us. You know, I sat down and I talked with him today and signed up, and it's like, you know, it's just best for trained eyes to sit and talk to you. You know, it's like they tell you, oh, it's gonna be $150,000, you know, and you all you see here is $150,000, but they're not telling you how it divides and how it is. This is a accidental is one half of it or whatever. You don't know until you have to use it, you know. So Mr. McCormick will be on at 6:30, and he's going to explain about life insurance policies and how important it is to know what type you have, you know, because we sit up and we go by what you know, the number, you know, where we got 250,000. That's what we think, but it's not always true when you get ready to use it. So he's going to educate us on that, and hopefully, you know, it'll be someone out that, you know, he even look over the policies that you do have to make sure it's the exact policy that you're looking for. You know, you don't want to wait until the last minute, and your people, you know, it ain't XYZ in it. You know what I'm saying? It's not what it says or what you expected or what you told them, because, you know, during that time, you know, nobody is really thinking. We don't want to bury our loved ones, you know, and going through what we're going through. So I think Mr. Isaiah will be a good candidate on educating us on the right policies for us. And I myself, I signed up, got me a policy today. And my thing is this here, I want to leave a legacy for my children and my grandbabies, you know, whenever I have grandbabies. I'm not rushing it, but I just want to educate you all and give you all the information, and that way you all can go with it whichever way you want to. Mr. McCormick, he's been doing this for a while, and he's good at what he do, and I was pleased with him. So we're going to play a little music here, and then we're going to go to the topic.
Chub Rock jumps up on the scene with a lean and a pocket full of green. The green doesn't symbolize I made it on the top, but RoboCop last year was a shock. The tone of the Popeye cut shook your butt. Kids are screaming, the media says what? Kind of music is this for you to dance to? The man with the plan and the band demands you. Leave the smack in the crack, throw the whack, throw the ball in the knock, keep a smile like that. Leave the knife and the gun in the store and ignore temptation sent by the nation. Racial game cause it's pain, he's a new rep. In your heart and mind, never forget you set. Hawkins, and when you're walking, you know just one. Black on black, remember that, it's important. Anyway, the shunless one, bring forth the fun. No hatred, the summer's almost done. No time for sleep, jump in your Jeep and pump up the funky beat. A holy beaver goes off, yo, smash it, then trash it. You're too young to be plumped in a casket. Just get your boys and bring the noise and just swing it. Your party people sing it. Can he come out and slam a jam? I'm his number one fan, yes I am. All these kids realize that I'm the man. 6'3" and maybe a quarter of an inch bigger than last year, but still a unique figure. Rob Springer, Doc, no dinky, and Hot Dog know that I'm a man that was born to have a mic on. Next to me at all times, ready to kick a rhyme. That'll keep me out of financial bind. That's why when it comes to fans, I'm never mean. Kids on St. James between Gates and Green. Always says hello, cause I'm a modest fellow. Never trying to play a superstar that's fellow. Cause if these kids don't go buy our record, we'll be has-beens. So we owe them to pull out your pen, sign an autograph, you might make a new friend. So just get your boys to bring the noise and just swing it. Now party people in the house, sing it. back to 1990, Chub Rock jumps upon the scene with a lean and a hardcore dream. The dream wasn't crafted to be pornographic. Decency started from the crib plus kids. Don't need to hear all of that on a rap. The strength of my vibe placed Chubs on the map, cause authority, seniority goes forth me. My staff gives autograph plus gives enough blast. Reap my might, heed my sight. I definitely lead you right, just treat me right. Peace.
To the topic of today, because like I said, it's just going to be an hour show today. Do you know people who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder? January is the it is the mental wellness month. It's according to IAIP, that's the International Association Professional Program. So, you know, it's a mental wellness month, meaning, you know, this, I guess this is the month when they put out a lot of new findings and different things like that. So if you know of anyone that are going through with this disorder, with the suffering from order, it's nothing to play with. It's nothing nice. I've seen it myself, but I have never had to live with someone that have it. And when, you know, to hear people talk about it, even close friends and stuff, you know, their parent coming back or an uncle, nephew, brother, sister, you know, come back from the military or, you know, any type of tragedy back in the day when you heard this disorder, it was always linked to, it was always linked to someone that has been in the military, blah, 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 blah. But, I'm glad that they have moved it around to where you don't have to be in the military, because when you have a traumatic act in your life, whether you're in the military or not, you know, it's traumatic to you, you know. And so I'm glad, you know, but when you hear it, you know, you automatically think, oh, this person been in the military. No, you know, the woman could have been abused. She could have been, you know, raped, anything, you know, man. So it's just not only tied to the military. But what I'm here to do today is to educate you all on the different essential oils that you can use if and when you are going through these phases. My understanding in reading and in searching is that, like, say for instance, we, you know, people that don't have this disorder, you know, we get stressed out or whatever, we just go on about our business, you know, we let it roll down our back, it'll bother us, then we go on. But from my understanding is when you have this disorder, it's constant. It can go, you can be depressed, isolate yourself and all that for months. You know, it's like the light stays on. It don't cut itself off. So, when they are going through the phases, you know, because it could be anorexic, they could be, you know, eating themselves to death, or it could be that they are fearful of some things, anxiety, panic, they can have rage and, you know, trauma, you know, they're hurting themselves, hurting other people, stress, depression, severe depression, you know, they go through different phases. And I feel like we need to educate ourselves with the knowledge so when we do run across it, we'll know how to handle it or get in touch with the people that this person may need to help them to understand what they're going through. You know, and a lot of times when people go through stuff as a kid and you never get any help, it boils over to your adulthood, you know. If you were beat, if you was molested, if you was, you know, if it was just tragic, even if you, your mother or father was, you know, they may have passed early in your life and you was bounced from kinfolk house or being into the adoption scene, you know, and going from place to place, you never felt love, you don't know who to trust, you know, that's a part of the syndrome also. So I say that to say this. I'm going to give you some information about how the essential oils can really, really help you. And I'm not saying that, you know, the medicine that you're taking or whatever is not doing. My goal is to let you know that there are alternative ways of dealing with this disorder. And also, if you have electrolytes, meaning, you know, a lot of people that there are people that are sensitive to smell and, lotions and anything touching them, you can diffuse these oils and stuff. So what you can do, you can get in touch with Ms. Kay at 817-566-4555, and I'll be more than happy to help you and guide you in the right way on getting the oils that you need and to understand. And you know, I can sit and talk with you. You know, we can talk over the phone. I do a little consultation and whatever it takes, you know, to help you to understand what you're going through, you know, because I, you know, a lot of times doctors just give you a prescription, say it's for this, but they really don't explain, you know, or I've had people to say, you know, they don't even listen to you. They just go by what you say and they give you a prescription and go. They, you know, they don't have that one-on-one that they want with their doctors, et cetera. But hopefully with this information that I'm giving today, it would help somebody out there, you know, because I know going through what you're going through, it's not nothing happy, you know. You see how people struggle just everyday life, just to live a normal life with PTSD, you know. It's nothing nice. So I'm gonna go ahead on and get deeper into the topic. Did you know that PTSD affect women different than they do men, you know, and the main reason is because, you know, a lot of times a woman, she's probably been raped, sexually assaulted, attacked, you know, or been in a domestic violence relationship and been beaten and, you know, self-esteem torn away. And I'm not saying only women, because I've met men that have gone through the same thing. You know, there are some women out there that you know, whooped up on these men head, and they are just as scared of those women as the women in those abusive relationships are scared of those men. So it's vice versa these days and time. You can say what you want to say, but the reality of it is it goes both ways. Men get abused too. So when I did my research and it showed how it affected women differently, just like with a woman, it would say, you know, like when a woman have it, she either, you know, get to eating and gain a lot of weight, or she, you know, she's very fearful of whatever happened to her. She isolate herself. She have panic attacks. But that goes both ways. That's what I'm saying. Abuse is abuse and pain is pain. Let's get it together and get the understanding and put a label on what we're dealing with and quit just saying, oh, she been through a domestic dispute, or he been through a domestic violence or what have you. Let's call what they have, which is lingering, you know, the conclusion of it, they have PTSD. A lot of them get on drugs, they start drinking, they don't want to bathe, they don't want to do none of that. You know, the disorder takes over on them. So hopefully with the information that I'm giving tonight, this would help somebody. It's like PTSD is actually an anxiety disorder. That's what it is. And it can develop into different areas, especially if you've been into, you know, had something traumatic to happen to you. And I say it again, men get abused too, and they go through the same thing. Just like the military guys, you know, we don't know nothing about the wars and stuff, what they see, but I never tell them, oh, man, you need not be like that. You know, that was being, quit thinking about that. You know, no, I would never say that because, see, I don't know how it is to run up on a body or my mind to stay on because you don't know who going to shoot, or you go into these villages and stuff and you don't understand, you know, you there to help, and then you don't know if they going to send one of them kids over there with a bomb on them. You don't know. So I would never tell nobody that, you know, oh, man, all that stuff happened back then. You need to deal with it. You don't tell nobody that, whether they've been to war or not. Those are not the words you say to people that need help or going through some things. Now, if you feel like you can't be there for them positively, or, you know, they might get on your nerves. So this is what I get from people. Oh, you know, oh, she calling. All she needs to do is take her medicine. You know, it's not like that, I don't get. You know, because I'm not living it, but all I can do is tell you about what I see in what when I've helped people, and this is what they come up with. Yeah, they have their medicine, but it does not mean that the medicine is still working. You see what I'm saying? So don't cut them short. Don't walk off from them. Don't talk crazy to them, you know? sit down and get to talk to them. They might be off the hinge and cussing and acting with the foolery, all that. But you know what? I would want somebody to take time out to see what's really bothering me and try to help me, you know, get back to normal, you know. So always remember, what you do to others, it do come back on you. So, you know, I've heard people, I just get them out of my face. I don't want to be bothered. But then you got to realize the shoe could be on the other foot. So with these, they have these suicide attempts. Some of them actually get it done, or they try to kill you or what have you, okay? What I really think is one of the reasons is that we as a people need to try to get these laws changed, because the laws say long as that person is not hurting you or anybody else or themselves, you can't make them take their medicine. But, you know, I've known people to get killed by their family member, or they, you know, they family member, because they're not taking their medicine, and they did take the right steps. The law kept telling them, look, ain't nothing we could do as long as that person has got not hurting himself or hurting someone. So let's take time out. Let's get together, even if you got to use my show as a platform. We got to get these laws changed, because this is not making sense. You know, you come home and this man then beat this 2-year-old to death, you know, and the family have been saying, look, something is not right, but the law protect them. I'm not saying they don't need to be protected, but we got to do the right thing. You know, we got to get the laws back to where if they're not taking their medicine, we need to find, they need to do something. We need to come up with a solution or have the laws to enforce it more so. Because, I mean, when I was growing up, and I'm 53, I've been here in Fort Worth, you know, during it all my life. But my thing is, I remember Mr. Johnny down the street. He get out there, get the taco to the trees and stuff, and tan up the car. You know, he was an old car in the yard, and he knocked the windows out. You know, he get out, you know, get on his soapbox, get the trip and be running behind cars and stuff, so his people would call, and they would come and get Mr. Johnny in their white van. He would have that white jacket on, and they'd take it, and by maybe some weeks later, Mr. Johnny's back, Mr. Johnny fine. They don't even do that no more. So we're going to have to get together as a community, as a whole, black, white, green, purple, polka dot. We got to get together, because mental illness is in every color. So we're going to have to get together and see what we could do to change these laws, because it's not right. You know, they are not at themselves. You know, if you're not taking your medication, you're not at yourself. You don't know what you're doing, you know. Well, I hope you don't know what you're doing, you know, put it that way, because then that'll be something real crazy. But we need to see what we need to do to talk to our legislatures and our governors, and whatever we need to do to change this, because it's out of hand. So I'm gonna go to the phone. You know, I can talk all day. I'm gonna go to the phone. Mr. Isaiah is on the line. I'm coming right to you.
Okay.
Hello.
I'm here.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Can you hear me? Oh, I'm doing.
Yes,
doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good. I was on my little soapbox there for a minute. Yeah, just trying to let them know it's important. You know, we got to get these laws changed, because, I mean, they sick, and we got to wait for something to happen in order for them to get help. You know, and it doesn't make any sense. There's a lady, she worked at one of the centers about 10 years ago, black lady, and her son was mentally ill, and she would, you know, tell him, hey, my son, he's not sleeping, he's not taking his medicine. And my son, he worked for the community center here in Fort Worth, and she didn't come and unlock the door, you know, because she was the supervisor. And they found her stabbed to death in her home.
Mm.
Her son killed her.
Oh,
and
wow.
She followed the protocol. She tried to get help, but they say he wasn't hurt nobody, so it wasn't nothing they was going to do. But we're going to have to change that. Because I remember back in the day when they used to come get you, you know, and do something.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the insurance. This is Mr. Isaiah, the insurance man. And he's going to share with you all his knowledge. And what I like about him is that he break it down to the lowest terms and to where you can understand. And he's wanting to make sure that it is what you're buying. You know, your policy is what you expect it to be. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic to you, Mr. McCormick, and here you are. You got the floor. Yay.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, Ms. Kay. I appreciate that. Yeah. I guess one concern I was sharing with Ms. Kay earlier today, one of the concerns that we run into a lot with when people have insurance is I know some of the we kind of have an inside joke here with my team that, you know, some of the old school, you know, like some of our grandmothers and things like that, they really believed in having a policy in place for the family, because there was a time that we weren't able to get those policies. So when they were able to get them, they put the whole family on there. But a lot of them, those policies, you know, they're with carriers that you may not be familiar with anymore, and the ones that put their family on there, the one problem we run into a lot is they may have put their kids on there maybe years ago, and now their kids are grown. They're grown, and they have fallen off those policies. And the only way to know that, to find out if that's happened, is we do a lot of policy reviews. Those don't cost anything. That's just a courtesy that we do, and we actually will sit down and review their policies just so they'll understand what they have, because a lot of people don't. They've had the policies for years. They never looked at them. It's just sitting in a box or a suitcase somewhere, or they're up in the box somewhere in the closet, and they never looked at them because they don't know what they have. And then when that time comes when they need it, They get a shock and awe that what they've been paying into or held on to all these years, they can't use it. You know, so that's why I tell people, you know, a lot of times when we sit with them, you know, and people are like, well, I already got my insurance taken care of. I'm like, okay, how often do you get it reviewed? And they're like, well, we didn't mean reviewed. I said, is your agent still can communicate with you? You know, they should be reviewing it every 1 or 2 years. You know, because people's life, and the reason for that is other than knowing, so people know what they have, but also so that, because, you know, people's life situation changes, you know.
Yeah.
Their kids grow, you know, get older, and they leave home, or they retire, or they get married, you know, they become unmarried, so they purchase a house. Just different things that happen. Your health situation changes, you know, so people, you know, it's a good idea to get them reviewed, you know, and if anything, you know, like I said, it should be a courtesy, you know, and it shouldn't be a visit where the person's coming there just to say something, you know, it should be one of those things that it should be educational. You know, if the need arises for you to make some adjustments, you know, we can always set another appointment for that and handle that later date. But like I said, that's one of my big concerns, especially in the black community, is I run into that a lot. People are like, well, I'm good. I've had mine for years. I put my kids on it. I'm like, are you sure it's good? Because your kids are now in their 30s, and are you sure they're on your policy? Yeah, they're covered. And I said, you've never made changes since then. Like, oh. I'm like, you might want to get that checked out. I don't think they're active on there anymore. They usually drop off after 25. And because the insurance company looks at it this way. They're adults. They should be responsible enough to get their own policies. So, but that's really the big thing I wanted to just put out there is just get your policies reviewed. Like I said, it should be a courtesy. If your agent or he or she's not doing that, you call them up. make them do their job. They have a license. They're obligated to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're required to. I just got through taking some continuing education courses, and they're real. I know in Texas, they're real heavy on ethics training. They make you do it. Otherwise they won't renew your license. So we're required to do that. And I remember going through all that, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of stuff the agent has to be mindful of. You know, as far as being an advocate for the consumer. You know, and making sure these companies are doing what they said they're going to do, because it's a contract. You know, your policy is so. Your agent, he or she, is required to do that. They're required to do a review with you. And if they're not, you know, and you haven't talked to them in a few years, you know, call them up. Yeah, call them up and tell them, hey, I haven't seen you in a little while. Where you at? You know,
okay.
My life has maybe had some changes, you know, and I need to make some adjustments. So, and if you can't find your agent and they're not out there and you need someone to step in just for a moment to help you out, I'd be more than happy to do that for you. Or if you feel, you know, if you trust someone else who's a licensed agent to do that, you're welcome to do that too. Just, you know, get it checked out, you know. The other thing, am I good on time, Ms. K?
Am I okay on time? We're good on time. Yes, we're good.
Okay. One other thing I want to put out, that not every insurance company does this. Our group does it because, again, it's a courtesy. You know, it doesn't cost anything for anybody to do that. We set up something we call an emergency response system, and basically what that is. It's a list of contacts other than immediate family that people that know you well. You know, it could be your church members, your pastor, friends, extended family, coworkers, or even your neighbors. We put them down on the list as well, because what happens sometimes is during that moment of loss, when that family's going through a moment of loss, the immediate family, their emotions are running high, and their mind is not on calling the insurance man. And so what happens is it'll be weeks, months before they even call the insurance guy. And the family's standing in need, a financial need, and they don't have the means to take care of certain things when they want to. And that person, you know, that what maybe the person who's no longer with us had already set up a policy in place to handle that, and they don't know about it, or they don't know where it is, or they don't know how to get that check sent out. And then the thing is, you got to call your insurance person to do that. And so what the emergency response list does is those people who know you well will call me or call your agent and let me know that, hey, look, you know, just say, for example, maybe the Williams family, you know, they suffered a loss, and we were letting you know. And what that does, I know for me, what that does, I'll get on the phone and call the carrier and get them to send out that benefit as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're not waiting a whole month, 2 months to get a check. You know, your check will be coming with pot within 48 hours to a week. You know, when you need it the most. So that's something that we do. It's not, like I said, it's no cost. You know, with this, and I actually will contact those persons and tell them, put my phone number in your phone, and that will let me know if something happens to them. You know, and if they stand in need of something, I can help them as well. But like I said, it's just a courtesy. You know, and if you have a policy right now, if your agent, he or she, if they don't do that, again, call them up and make them do their job. Tell them, hey, look, you need to set that up for me too.
And that's what it should be. You know, it's just like, you know, like you said, it's courtesy. I mean, I got the policy. I trust what you told me. You know, do a follow-up. It's just like we have to change the oil in our car. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it should be. You know, like you said, a lot of people don't. They, you know, they don't check it. You know, they don't come back and check you and see what Ms. K. Yes. So, I'm like this here. If you're interested in getting your policy looked over or what have you, I myself could set up a place to where people could meet, and I could speak with Mr. McCormick and see what his schedule is like, and then we can be there, you know, whatever it takes to help you to understand what you're into or what you have. I do whatever I can. You know, because we have to be mindful for what we get. You know, because right. The last minute thing, you know, oh, I thought Mama said, you got to know what you know. So that's something. I'm gonna go to a song right quick if you don't mind holding on.
Sure.
We got 10 more minutes. Okay, hold on. And I just want to share with you people that are going through like nightmares and like night terrors. I want to share with you the essential oils that can help you manage everything that you're going through. It's like lavender, it relaxes you. Clear sage, sandalwood, lemon, all of those, if you're going through like the nightmare, the night terrors and things like that, it helps you get up and go and erase the negativity that you seem to be dealing with. Also, if you're having obesity, you have grapefruit, essential oil is good for that, lemon, lime, thyme, even juniper berry is good for that. What those oils do is drive out negativity and negative influences, you know, that you have all the time in your head, you know. Those oils are good for that and for fear, you know. It helps you with sandalwood, cypress, lavender, and frankincense. It helps you with you having, you know, self-pity. And, you know, everybody, you know, picking on you thing. You know, it helps you when you're going through the fear, you know, and that's a phase. Those are phases that you do when you have post-traumatic, you know, stress syndrome disorder. When you have that, these are the things you go through. And I just want to let you know that there are other alternative ways in dealing with your illnesses. And like if you have anxiety, lavender is good, rose and cedarwood is good for that. And if you have panic attacks, and frankincense and lang lang is good for that, along with lavender. If you have rage, it calms you down. Lang lang and chamomile is good for that. That calms you down. That keep you from, you know, going to the rage or everybody pushing that button, even if they're not pushing the button. This type of lang lang and Roman chamomile is good for if you have problems with relationships. A lot of times when you have this this disorder, you can decipher from the truth. You know, if somebody trying to hurt you, or, you know, it's always something, you know, and it's not your fault. You know, I'm just letting you know that there are other alternative ways. And if you get that that lang lang, and if you get that Roman chamomile, it will relax you. It will calm your mind down, and you won't have that fight and that, you know, oh, somebody trying to get at me thing. And if you have trauma, you know, you've been beat, or you're scared to go to sleep, or you think someone is always after you, thyme, lemon, and clarity sage is good for that. And again, these are the phases of post-traumatic stress syndrome. When you have stress, I mean deep depression, you get bergamot, lemon, and lavender. Those things calm you down. They you know, keep you from having negativity in mind, and they lift you up. They make you want to get up out the bed. They make you want to get up and do some things. And when you are severely depressed to where you don't want to dress, you don't want to comb your hair, you don't want to do anything, mandarin, lemon, jasmine, a helichrysum, those are very good. Very good. And the oils that I do use is doTERRA. doTERRA is where I purchase my oils, my wellness oils, and they do work. And the founder, Dr. Hill, he also recommends Melissa. He suggests that is a good oil for post-traumatic stress syndrome. And he is one of the founders of doTERRA. So there is help out here, and there are different oils that can help you. And if you are interested, you know, call Ms. K, 817-566-4555. And that way we can sit down and I can talk to you, and I can lead you in the right way on how you can go on my website, and, you know, and you can get the particular oils that you're looking for. And I hope and pray that, you know, this reaches someone, because there's someone out there that's going through what they're going through. And please be patient with them. I know from what I was told, you know, they can be a handful, but, you know, we're going to have to get out here and change these laws to where when they get out of hand, and they get to threatening us, we shouldn't have to wait until somebody is dead or maimed or in critical condition because, you know, the person may not be taking he or she medication or whatever. We need to stop it before we get to that point. We need to do what we have to do to rally to change these laws because it's not fair to the one that's being injured. So I would like to thank Mr. Isaiah for coming on and educating us about the insurance policies and what have you. And I will be calling you back because I will, I usually do. They do the archives and people leave messages and stuff like that. And so mm-hmm. whenever they call or, you know, Mr. Isaiah, I want you to, you know, I let you know. And then maybe we can just set up something, even if it's like a meet and greet, and they can bring sure. their old policies or the policies they have, and we can just take it from there. I got one call here, 6893. I'm coming to you. Hello?
Hey, hey, hey. What's going on, family? How y'all doing? It's your boy, Lico. What's happening?
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing?
What's up, Miss K and Mr. Isaiah? What's going on? That's my fam right there, man. Y'all my family, and I kind of got in a little late, man, getting ready to do our sickle cell meeting, and I was working on some other stuff, but I know that y'all were talking about some great things, and I know Miss K and I spoke earlier about, you know, insurance policies or whatever. We have to leave that legacy and not worry about what's behind us. You know, we gone, so we got to talk about it. Mm-hmm. If we all got to go at some point. We got to start having that conversation about what we're going to do once we're gone and who, you know, and things like that. And I'm glad you talked about post-traumatic stress as well because I know somebody dealing with that. You know, she had a friend, supposed to have been in a relationship with him, and she knew that he had post-traumatic stress. She just didn't know how. She never dealt mm-hmm. with it before. And she came right. home one day, and they had a little discussion or something before that, and she came home, he was gone. You know, he took all his stuff and didn't talk to her for about 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so finally he just popped up like it wasn't nothing, you know, You know, he popped up like, why you didn't call me?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, why should I call you? You the one left. You know what I'm saying? So it is something how they change their minds. Because I heard they do, and I think you was in the service, Mr. Isaiah, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I know, you know, when you go to basic training, do they have any process after? I know y'all probably talked about it before I got on. But do they have anything after when they get out?
They're supposed to. I know it's been a minute since I was in. You know, when I got in, it was during the first Gulf War.
mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I wasn't. I actually didn't have to get sent over to Saudi on the firing zone. Because
okay.
I was actually still training. Actually, I was learning my job. But we had a lot of people, even on the post where I was at, who were, you know, when they declared war, at Fort Gordon, they were freaking out. And we had people doing things right there on the post. And I said, man, we ain't even shipped out yet, and y'all are freaking out. And so, people like, okay, you knew what you was getting into when you signed that, when you raised your right hand, you knew what you knew you was getting into it. But we even had people then that were having anxiety attacks, and
wow.
they hadn't even been shipped out yet. And I'm like, well, they want you to learn your job. I mean, you can do the Army no good and being over there and you don't know your job.
Yeah. Wow.
That's something to see because my ex-husband was in the military and didn't know what it was then. You know, he would have, you know, friends and they were just different. You know, one while they're okay and it might be doing a card game, they just start, you know, their attitude would change. You know, and they would harp on it. They would stay on it. I mean, it's just like a broken record. You know, but they looked over them because they already knew something. But if you are there and you don't know that, you'd be like, this dude crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
found out later on, you know, he was having separation anxiety. He had never been away from his family, even as a grown man. You know, so things start happening, and like I say, we got to get with the legislatures and the bill, the ones that make these bills and stuff. We got to change this because there's a lot of people getting killed because these people have this disorder and they're not taking their medication. Whether they've been to the war or not, it's still post-traumatic stress disorder. You don't have to be. It's a trauma, you know. But throughout reading in history, when you hear that, oh, they must have been in the military. But see, that's now they put the label with other things, you know, just like abuse, whether you're a male or female. You know, now they said, okay, this is what's wrong with her. This is what's wrong with him. You know, they have a label on it now. Instead of just saying they was in an abusive relationship, no, they have a disorder. They've been beat out there and there 20 years, you know. So it's a disorder. They, you know, it's broke them down. But we got to find out how we need to, what we need to do, and who we need to talk to change these laws, because these people dying for nothing, and the family left them. Police know, let the hospital know. But they said, well, if you're not, if they're not hurting themselves or hurting somebody else, there's nothing they can do. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we got to see what we can do.
Change. Yeah, you're right. A lot of people don't understand. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. And like I said, it's not all military people, because some of us who were in the military, you know, we were. Some of us were in the rear, as we call it. You know, we were support groups, but the ones that were on the front lines, you know, they've seen the ugliness of war, and they've seen some things that make Hollywood look like Disney. You know what I'm saying? on the screen, that is. I mean, there's a few movies out there. They come real close, but it's very few. You know, on the ugliness. I mean, I know I've watched a couple of movies with my wife. I said, not quite, but, you know, it's
entertaining.
But then there's a couple that get real close. And I was like, I told her, that's about how it is.
Wow.
That ugly.
Wow.
You know, and they'll see stuff over there you'll never see here in the States, never. And they do need help.
Yes, they need help. You got to know, because that will bother me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I know you over there doing what you need to do. You want to fight for your country and all that type of stuff. I understand that, but these people see things, like you say, we would never think about. And it's just, man, and they always on medication. You know, they have to, when they retire and get out, you have to take a pill to wake up and want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, or either they drink, or, you know, or they become workaholics themselves, or they seclude themselves, or they detach themselves from feelings, you know, like in a relationship, they detach themselves, you know, and that is true. That's what it is. But I didn't know what it was called. I just thought maybe he was tripping, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm talking
about my business,
you know.
I know one movie that kind of gets it kind of close. Actually, it got awarded really well. It's a movie called The Hurt Box.
Okay.
It's I forgot who. Jeremy Renner's in it, I think. It's called The Hurt Locker.
The Hurt Locker.
That's what it's called.
The Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they won a lot of awards.
You see what he has to do. He works in what we call demolition. That's the guys that do with all the bomb stuff. And you don't know, for him, you know, I know when I saw it, I said, yeah, that's about right. I know guys when I went to boot camp and we all split off to go to our various jobs, and, you know, those guys, you know, you don't know if you're coming home or not. Every day you're out there doing that, you don't know if you're coming home. But I know there's a part in the movie where he goes home and tries to be normal around his kids and his wife, and I said, and I'm just looking. I said, they have no clue or idea what their father does.
See,
they have no idea what he does and what he has to deal with.
And that's the thing about it. And then, you know, like you say, my ex, he was in the military, he was on the boat, you know.
So he saw some things. He was over the, you know, he would have to watch and see if there was, you know, bombs in the water, or if they shooting the missiles to you know, because he was on the USS Saratoga. Okay. You know, so he was down there watching that. So it was something else for him, too. And right today, you know, he has his little issues, you know. And, man, I can only imagine, because I know I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, and I'm telling you, I just wouldn't. Boot camp, I would have flunked out. But
boot camp's not bad. It's not bad.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, I got a problem with you in my face. I got a problem with you in my face tripping. Yeah, so I stayed home. But, yes, but I have a godson. He was on my show. I think it was the first year that I think I had my show 2 months. He came home, and I remember when he came home, it was like 2008, and he came out from overseas, and he wasn't the same, and he had cut a finger off from one of the enemies and had it in his backpack, you know, and brought it back to the United States.
Yeah.
So he's I mean, it wasn't him before he left, but that's where his mind
they change
is.
Your mind. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they do when you go to boot camp. They change your. That's the sad part. That's why I was wondering if they. I mean, cause just what is boot camp? What, 6 weeks, 8 weeks long?
The boot camp isn't so much an issue. You know, that's just standard military. You know, to get you. You know, cause they got to get you. You know, get your mind and your body right.
Mentally ready.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
You know how to deal with military life. But where these guys, a lot of them, where it really starts changing them up a little bit is when they get out there. They get out there in the danger zone. You know, out there on the front lines, and they actually get in the heat of war. You know, and they actually have to, you know, get into combat. You know, on the ground. You know, whatever it is they got to do. That's where all this comes from. Because, I mean, boot camp's no big old deal. That's just training. You know, it's not that bad.
It's bad to somebody if you're not used to nobody in your face talking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Because my ex is one of the quietest people, and he challenged his superior officer. Because he was talking about his mother. That's not even him, but he kept pushing that button. So that's what Lico talking about. You know, sometimes they mess with you and not understand why they try to do it, you know. But, you know, you hadn't even made it to the line yet. But, they talk crazy to you, talk about your mama, talk about you, call you punks. They do all that. You know, I'm not saying everyone does, but I'm just saying...
Yeah, and it's not for everybody. You know, it's a mental game. You know, I mean, you kind of have to know that before you go in there. You know, it's a mental game. You know, but they're doing it to they're doing it to toughen you up because they don't. You know,
they are.
Like they said back then to me, you know, when I came through, is that you know they don't want you to be no punk. So when they give you an order to execute, you got to execute. You can't be second guessing, because that's somebody's life, you know. And that they drill that into you. You know, you take care of your buddy, you know, and you don't you got to follow through, because that you know every time you don't follow your orders and you don't look after your buddy, that's you get somebody killed. So
that's
the reason why they try to get you to, you know, focus and listen and pay attention and follow through, so you don't get yourself or your buddies killed.
It's either people out here that do the same thing, man. They have these CHLs and they're not killers. So when if it is time for them to shoot, a lot of times they can't do it. They can't even pull the trigger if they had to, you know. And that's just not what their mind is. So you have to be programmed. They have somebody has something like that where they train people to when you need to shoot. You know what I'm saying? You need to pull that trigger when it's time. So, but yeah, that's a mental thing. You sure right about that. You know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he
showed me. They just need to have something back when they get back. I know you're about to get off too, sister. That was a great show. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, and I'm gonna get out. We 10 minutes over, but I'm good, and I love to talk. You already know, especially when it's something positive. And please, please contact Miss K, because there is an alternative way out there, and there are oils and different things that can help you. Sometimes you could be on your medication too long, and it truly don't work anymore. You know, so. Please call Ms. K at 817-566-4555. And I want to thank you, Mr. Izell, and thank you, Mr. Nico Mack, for calling in and supporting me. And until next week, y'all be sweet, and just give me a call if y'all need me.
All right,
Ms. K. All right.
Be good.
All right. Night. Bye. All right.
Night-night.
Great
job.